Fantasy Sports Break with Proto and Jordan White. Fantasy Sports Break.
Hello, everybody. This is Proto from the Fantasy Break. I just wanted to let you all know this is our first episode, and we'll hopefully be airing weekly Sunday nights around 8 p.m. I'm here with my colleague Jordan White.
Hey, guys.
We're very excited to share some of our fantasy football knowledge. We've both been doing this for about 4 or 5 years now. Feel like we're pretty versed. We actually just did our first draft, which is pretty exciting. I think we both have just been pumped and hyped. I'm sure you're hyped as well.
So excited. Can't wait for football season.
I know. It's just, it's so happy. I'm so happy it's here, finally.
10 days away.
Unfortunately, our Cowboys are going to be awful.
Yes. Our defense is dreadful.
Ugh. Can't even believe it. Sean Lee went out on the freaking first preseason practice.
Sean Lee's out on the first practice. We obviously lost to Marcus Ware this offseason. Jason Hatcher's departed in free agency.
We're stuck with freaking redhead Jason Garrett calling plays, which is going to be boring as forever.
It's not going to be good. but we do still have Dez Bryant, which is a great playmaker. Romo's still under center. Hopefully his back holds up.
We'll see. We'll see. But hey, we actually just did the first draft. It was a 12-team PPR. We had the 9th pick. We both think it turned out fantastic. There were some things that happened where we're like, man, what were these people thinking? But I guess that happens in everybody's locals drafts because these aren't experts. Everybody has these expert drafts and all these routines you're supposed to follow. Well, we just want to show you how it goes down when things are on the clock, things are for real, and they're going to have to be played through for an entire season. Well, we want to touch on some of the values. We think that's some of the biggest things we can tell you guys that are just looking for key advice that's maybe not going to be set in stone, but just something to think about when you guys walk into your drafts. Just looking at the ADPs, it was pretty interesting doing the draft on ESPN since I do most of my mocks on Yahoo. They're so different. So you need to take this into account when you do your drafts. Go to the site that you're going to actually do the draft on and find out how the players are ranked. And then go look at some of the other sites. Fantasy Pros is really good. It's a site online. All the experts put their picks on there, and you can look at like a general consensus. That's fantasypros.com. And just find out which guys you think have it figured out. Look at the accuracy ratings. Get your rankings and just look at how they're different, because it really does help you find value. You can pick a guy where you might want to pick him in the second round, but you can see that nobody's taking him till the third or fourth. You can wait till the third or fourth to snag him. So, but let's take a look. I just want to go over the top 10 at each position, just get a little bit of a baseline feeling for what you guys should look for. On ESPN, top 10 quarterbacks are as follows. They've got Peyton Manning number one. No argument there.
Hard to argue that one.
You can't. He had 55 touchdowns and 5,000 yards.
I mean, it's and Peyton Manning.
His offense is better. The offense is better. He had no Sean Moreno behind him.
So, I agree.
Just one of those things.
And his left tackle's back this year and healthy.
Unbelievable. Yeah, that offense
they
is
added Emmanuel Sanders.
I will say this caveat. I see no way that the Denver Broncos are in the playoffs by week 10. Almost guaranteed.
I agree. I think the Kansas City Chiefs take a step back in that division. Also, the Oakland Raiders, we never know what's going to happen with them. They're so up and down. They did add some talent, Maurice Jones-Drew, but we're just not sure.
Yeah, their defense is still awful.
San Diego, they've got some guys going on. They got a good offense, but they're nowhere near what the Broncos have added. Even on defense, you get Von Miller back healthy.
Oh, my gosh.
Keeb Talib out at corner.
Yeah.
They added DeMarcus Ware.
Let's be honest. Would you be surprised if it was Seattle and Denver again?
No, I would not. That's pretty much the odds-on favorite so far in Vegas.
I guess the 49ers could compete, but there's nobody else in the NFC that can really compete with the Seahawks, and I don't think there's anyone in the AFC that can take the Broncos.
Bill Belichick might have some game plan up his sleeve.
The Patriots are always there. They're always
Tom Brady's always a gamer.
That's why we play the season, and that's why it's so fun. But, okay, the next one, they actually have on ESPN Aaron Rodgers at number two. What do you think about that? Would you take Drew Brees or Aaron Rodgers?
In my mind, I'd rather have Rodgers. I think it's just a sure thing. I mean, the guy's 5,000 yards with the past three seasons.
Yeah.
And
he was hurt last year and
they
still
added,
put up
they added
numbers.
A Brandon Cooks this offseason in the rookie draft class. You got Kenny Stills still there.
Oh, wait, so you're looking for Drew Brees, not Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
You want Drew Brees.
I like Drew Brees, that second pick.
Oh, man. Yeah, I have to agree. I honestly don't care. I think they're both so good. You can't go wrong. I don't think I could take them in the, you know, late first round, early second. I'd want them a little later. But if you want to take that quarterback for the consistency and you're worried about a running back getting injured, go for it. It's your league. There's nothing wrong with making that pick.
Drew Brees plays in a dome 8 games.
Yeah, and the division he's playing with is just getting worse. The Falcons are awful. Carolina, if Cam Newton's hurt right now, he's got a back injury. We hope he's all right. But, dude, if he's not there, that team is awful.
They aren't good. It's not going to be good if he's hurt.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. I think Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, they're locks. You can't go wrong. If you want to go with the safe picks, make sure you get one of those guys. Matthew Stafford, Cam Newton, Andrew Luck are number 4, 5, and 6. I think Matthew Stafford's leaps and bounds ahead of Cam Newton and Andrew Luck.
I would have to agree as well. I really like the Matthew Stafford pick. I think he's really moving up into that different echelon of elite quarterbacks. I think he's right on the doorstep.
I agree.
I mean, it helps when he's throwing to Calvin Johnson, but let's be honest, he's chucking it.
Yep. And Cam Newton, the ranking obviously probably hasn't been updated since the injury. I would imagine they drop him. And I have to drop him in my rankings. I don't see him as a top 8, 9 quarterback. Do you?
Well, if you take him with a rib and back injury, he's not able to get out and move around and run. And, I mean, that's just such a huge part of what Cam Newton is. I mean, big 6'5", 250, 60-pound guy. I mean, he's able to go out there and take on linebackers and run over safeties. And if he's not able to do that, it limits
his upside, for sure. Yeah, the upside's just not there. The next couple quarterbacks at number 7 are Robert Griffin III. At number 8, we've got Nick Foles. Number 9, we have Colin Kaepernick. And number 10, Russell Wilson. So
I should just say buyer beware on RG3. I'm not sure what he's going to come out with this year.
Yeah, he's got the upside of anybody. He could be the number one
quarterback. He's an amazing athlete. There's no doubt about it. But just some of the decisions I've seen him making just in preseason alone, not to mention he's got a new offensive coordinator and head coach. You know, you don't know where his psyche's at right now. I mean, I'm definitely going to be rooting for the guy. But just not sure how it's going to play out for him.
Not at all. I wouldn't touch him. I think you get much better value with Nick Foles, who's ranked lower. I like Colin Kaepernick better. I like Russell Wilson better. And then let's not even mention, at number 11, we have Matt Ryan. Tom Brady follows him. Tony Romo, Phillip Rivers, Jay Cutler. All these guys are behind him that I think are safer and better bets.
Well, you got to look at it. This is a throwing league, and these guys are still going to be putting up 35 to 4,000 yards. I mean, yes, you don't get the 4,500 yards and 50 touchdowns you're going to get out of a Peyton Manning or a Drew Brees, but you got to look at the other positions that you're going to be able to get a higher tier player at that position and still get adequate production out of your quarterback.
I have to agree completely. It's one of those things, though. I see them, they like the Yahoo and ESPN, they tier Colin Kaepernick, Russell Wilson, and RG3 as pretty close. Andrew Luck gets lumped in there a little bit ahead of them because I guess they see them as being mobile and having the rushing stats.
Yeah, I pulled that last year and went with Kaepernick, and it pretty much ruined my season because he just didn't live up to the hype.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like they're hyped on these rushing stats that are not guaranteed because the league is trying to make it such a passing league, and they've got to keep these guys healthy. So the teams themselves are limiting these quarterbacks, not letting them run as much as they possibly could. Or might be, if you know, which inflates their fantasy value.
What's your franchise player? I mean, you can't have your quarterback out there running around all the game and he'll get hurt.
Right. I mean, we want that as fantasy owners to be the case, but I just don't think it's going to play out like that in the NFL season, especially this year where they've changed those cornerback rules. I don't know about you, but that's going to make passing even more dynamic.
I've seen so many flags this preseason. I mean, it just seems like all I see is yellow everywhere, every play.
Exactly. So I just don't see the value there with those rushing guys anymore. Even in standard leagues where you don't get, you know, it's 4 points per passing touchdown, I still think those passers are just safer. They're less injury prone, they're solid, they're more projectable, and you can get them much later.
And they're proven.
True, very true. Like Jay Cutler at number 15 overall in ESPN rankings, I will take him in the 10th, 11th, 12th round all day. He can be my starter. I'll back him up with Ben Roethlisberger.
I mean, he's got 2'6", 230-pound receivers on the outside, and a coach that's what he does. He throws the ball coming out of the Canadian Football League.
Lovey left. Lovey left, so we're all good. Everything should be solid with those guys. I think we all agree, if you don't get one of those top three quarterbacks, I think we both think you can maybe reach a little bit for Matt Stafford because we think he has a chance of moving up to that next level. We don't think it's probable, but there's that chance. And then I actually really like Nick Foles. I think he has a chance to be in that top 5 if a couple injuries occur or whatnot. He's just got Chip Kelly. people don't realize how simple that system is and how efficient it is.
Chip Kelly's kind of revolutionized the offensive system in my mind. He has so many guys going downfield. The tight ends go downfield. He has both the backs running out. They're running double screens. I mean, it's just, he's like a mad scientist.
It's impossible to guard. It makes things so easy for the quarterback.
Well, they create such mismatches. I mean, you look at, they brought in Darren Sproles this year. What linebacker is going to be able to cover Sproles?
I don't know.
And that's the side running back. He's not even the main guy. You got LaShawn McCoy, who, I mean, his Twitter name's cut on a dime. I mean, he cuts and goes. So, I mean, you get him the ball out in space, and he's going to leave some guys grabbing air.
Yeah, no kidding. I also really like Tom Brady at number 12. I think he has a bounce back year. I see no problem taking him in the later rounds.
Well, I mean, as far as fantasy goes, I'm not so sure about what numbers he puts up. In the regular season, yeah, there's no doubt Tom Brady's a winner. I mean, he's going to win games. But when you look at Edelman's never really healthy, Gronkowski's never really healthy. I mean,
Amendola's never healthy. They don't know who their starting running backs are.
Starting running backs rotate. I mean, they had two rookies last year on the outside in Dobson and Tompkins, but are they going to be able to take that next step?
Yeah, Dobson's still dealing with that foot injury.
And, you know, people are starting to question the Patriot way and thinking they're heading downwards. Sure. We'll see.
Well, that's sort of our breakdown on the quarterbacks for this year from ESPN. Let's take a look at Yahoo and see if anything's a crazy opposite. Okay, so they have Drew Brees number 2 instead of Aaron Rodgers. Matt Ryan at number 4. That's pretty high, but I can't argue with it. Julio Jones healthy.
And Roddy White obviously healthy as well.
Yeah, he was hurt.
They are missing Tony Gonzalez.
Yeah, but I think they'll be all right. They'll be fine.
They did add Devin Hester. Should be interesting to see what he could bring to the offense.
Yeah, I hope they don't play him on offense. Just let him return kicks.
But hey, the guy's a speedster. Maybe he can catch a pass and take it to the house.
Man, they have Nick Foles in number 10. If you're drafting in Yahoo, I think Nick Foles is probably the guy you should target late. That's a good value. Colin Kaepernick and Russell Wilson are extremely low on Yahoo. They have them at 13 and 14.
I think Russell Wilson's a steal there.
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't put up eye-popping numbers, but he's very consistent. If you look at last year, he averaged, I think it's like 278 passing yards a game and around 68 rushing yards a game. You combine that, I mean, you're over 300 yards combined offense.
Yeah, he gets a rushing touchdown, throws two regular touchdowns. It's a monster game. The upside is definitely there. Late rounds, nothing wrong
with They've also added Parsi Harvin back. He's finally healthy.
Percy Harvin's hard. I hope he stays healthy. I think he could be a game changer. I don't even care. I don't think I'm going to get him on any fantasy teams. I just want to see him play. So I'm switching over to the running back ranks right now. All right, so on to the running backs. The top five are pretty solid. Every site I've looked at, all the rankings I've looked at, they all pretty much have, in any general order, most of the time, it's LeSean McCoy, Jamaal Charles, Adrian Peterson, then Matt Forte or Eddie Lacy, regardless if it's standard or PPR.
Those are pretty much the top five. I mean, you could throw Marshawn Lynch in there, arguably.
Monty Ball.
I'm not as high on Monte Ball, but yeah.
Yeah, I think the general consensus has him there, though. But after that little tier, it drops dramatically. You get the Alfred Morris's, DeMarco Murray's, Giovanni Bernard's, Arian Foster's. That entire clump.
Well, even Alfred Morris, I mean,
yeah,
guy's no slouch. He's putting up numbers.
In PPR, he's obviously a little bit lower, but standard, he's a stud. Can't help it.
Standard. Also, I mean, first time starting running back, Toby Gerhart in Jacksonville. I'm not too sure what to make out of him.
It is Jacksonville. I just can't see that offense putting up enough numbers, but he's going to get the touches. I wouldn't be surprised if he got 200 carries, 50 receptions.
He is the man there. Yeah. He is the man. He's number one.
There's nobody else challenging him. I mean, they have Todman, right? But Todman's little. They have Robinson. Right. He's a little dude. I just don't see him really breaking into Toby Gerhart's work.
The C.J. Spillers and the Reggie Bushes.
Oh, man. Those are going to be the guys that win people fantasy leagues this year. Or lose them.
I mean, C.J. Spiller, healthy. There's no doubt he's a top 10 pick.
I know. And Fred Jackson's so old. And he was hurt. The thing is, like, he had a great magical season last year. I think he was, like, top 12. But it's one of those things. What are the chances he repeats that? He's almost freaking 35.
Yeah, but he is a head full of steam. And, I mean, he hits the holes hard, and he can make you pay.
I know. I think C.J. Spiller is going too low. I think if you can get him in the third, fourth round, that upside just makes it so worth it. I mean, let's remember, this guy went in the first round last year. He killed a ton of fantasy teams, but he was a top five pick. The talent is there, and if Fred Jackson gets hurt and the coaches and he stays healthy,
he could change fantasy teams. I don't see any problem with taking him as a number two running back. You get yourself a good wide receiver, a top quarterback, maybe a tight end. You have one other running back.
It can be a gamble, but it can also pay off huge.
Exactly. Exactly. And then we get to this other tier. It's got the Arian Fosters. I mean, I don't know where to put Foster. I never find myself drafting him in any of my mocks. I just can't.
I'm just not sure if he's healthy or not. If the guy's healthy, I mean, yeah, he's 15 to 1,700 yards. He can do that. But you just don't know where he's head at. I mean, it seems like since he's become a vegan, things have gone downhill for him.
Yeah, I don't understand the diet thing. I love meat, but let him do what he's got to do. But it's more of the, for me, it's the quarterback situation. I feel like they're just so awful at quarterback. He's going to have stacked boxes all the time. Yeah, he might get the carries, but the dude has never stayed healthy other than 1 year.
Yeah, which this is just a huge health concern with him. I've just consistently seen him fall in all the mock drafts.
Yeah, and I just don't see myself being the guy that pulls the trigger. There's always at least one believer who takes him before I'm willing to take him. So
I mean, if you can grab him third or fourth round, it could be good.
Yeah. It's one of those things. You got to take the risk. If you like him, go for it. I mean, if you're from the Houston area, I'm sure it'd be fun to watch, but best of luck to you.
We can't leave out one of my favorite guys, Frank Gore.
Oh, gosh.
Consistency.
He's amazing. And he has no one behind him. Everybody got hurt.
Well, they have the Carlos Hyde guy there who, by the way, if you can get in your late rounds, he could pick up some of the garbage time there.
Imagine Frank Gore goes down.
You got Carlos Hyde.
Oh, man, he could be a steal. Definitely a great pick to look at in your last couple picks of a draft. I'd see no downside. If you drop him in the first couple weeks for somebody else, what did it hurt you? You missed out on another flyer wide receiver.
49ers have all those big first-round picks on the offensive line. They're going to ground and pound.
Yep. There's no downside there. Le'Veon Bell, we discussed a little bit earlier. I don't like him. I think it's just one of those things. I know I've heard other people compare it to like a Trent Richardson season. I don't think it has anything to do with that. The guy's just nothing special, in my opinion. And they have Blount there now, so I just don't see it being that big
of a deal. Le'Veon Bell really stepped it up the end of the last season. Really came on the last 8 games. Really put up some numbers. I mean, it is the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they are going to run the ball, but they're just having such controversy right now, even with Roethlisberger and Todd Haley getting in sync. I mean, things just seem in turmoil there. But, I mean, Mike Tomlin always seems to pull it together. So, I mean, Le'Veon Bell, since his recent off-the-field issues, he'll probably slide a little bit. And that's when you should get him, because the payoff could be huge. If you can grab him third round, I consider that a steal.
You really like him in the third round?
I do.
So would you take him ahead of C.J. Spiller, Andre Ellington, Rashad Jennings, Toby Gerhart?
Depending on what league I'm in, if it's straight up head-to-head league, not a PPR, yes, I'll take Le'Veon Bell third round.
Wow.
Because I think he can do damage. Now, I'm not sure what the suspension or what's going to happen to him off the field. He may miss some time. That part's still out there.
I don't think he misses any time this year, at least from what I've read. I don't know much about the legal issues in the NFL, but everything I've talked or read about, you know, the Adam Schefters and all that, they think it's going to be next year. So I don't think we should really see that as a risk. But
I mean, he really doesn't have the injury concerns that Spiller or Bush have.
Yeah, that's very true. Very true. I guess I just disagree. I'd much rather have the Andre Ellingtons, the Gio Bernards, the Arian Fosters, the C.J. Spiller. I personally love Rashad Jennings. So I would take him above Le'Veon Bell.
I think I would take Bell over Jennings.
I mean, a lot of people have Gore super low. Super low.
And I mean, if they do, that's where you pounce. That's where you might win your league with somebody like a Frank Gore in, you know, fourth, fifth round. Because he's just consistent. He's going to give you 1,200 yards, 8 to 10 touchdowns. That's just what he does.
I mean, let me just read this out to you. Like, the 15 to 22-ish range. I mean, you're looking at guys, it's all that range. The Le'Veon Bells, the Toby Gerhardt, C.J. Spiller, Rashad Jennings, Joik Bell's in there, Frank Gore's in there, Ryan Matthews, who I'm not a huge fan of, but I mean, the number 20 running back, can't really argue with it. Chris Johnson, Bishop Sankey. There's a bunch of good guys in that 15 to 20 range, and they're not going to go till the third, fourth round.
Are you talking about one of the most hyped guys, Bishop Sankey? You know, I'm not sure where he's getting all this hype. I mean, yeah, he did some good stuff in college, but is it really going to translate to the NFL?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, he played in the Pac-12. I mean, yeah, they've got some speed out there, but you've got guys in the NFL running 4.5s, 4.6s just as fast as he is.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things, it's all about the opportunity. If he gets, he's just got nobody behind him. I mean, he has Sean Green, who's already hurt. Nobody believes in him.
He's a slow plotter. I mean, he's not really going to make anybody miss, outrun anybody.
He's just boring. Nobody wants to pick Sean Green in a draft. Bishop Sankey, it's like, cool, I have a chance to have a breakout guy, because everybody thinks about the Arian Fosters, the Trent Richardson, who had a pretty good first year, the Le'Veon Bells, who had a pretty first, you know, good first year. The history's been good for these rookie running backs. It's just, I think we both agree, we just don't think he's anything special.
Well, we'll see. He's got big shoes to fill there with Chris Johnson being gone.
Yeah, CJ question mark K, who's now with the Jets and looked decent.
This could revive his career. I mean, maybe he needed a little confidence put back in him, and that's what Rex Ryan does. I mean, he pumps his players up and gets them to do things they don't normally do.
And he's going super late. I think Chris Johnson's going like the sixth round.
I've seen him in the fifth, sixth round. I mean, you got to think, if he can put up 1,000 yards there, I mean, that's all he's done every year he's been in the NFL.
And we forget Geno Smith, Michael Vick, both mobile quarterbacks. They always seem to inflate running backs' value.
They added Eric Decker on the outside.
Yeah, they actually have some threats in the passing game.
Added a new big tight end in Jason Morrow.
I think we both agree there's nothing wrong with taking a flyer on him in the sixth. He could be your number two.
I totally agree. I think he has a great season. Jets have a good offensive line. I think they believe
in
the
kid. And they run. The next tier is a little bit iffy too, but there's still value here. I really do think so, especially in PPR. This is where the value sort of is there. You have to take those top tight ends, top wide receivers early, because you can get these guys and they're going to put up, you know, number two numbers in PPR standard formats. You got Shane Vereen at 26, in that range, 25. He ranges from that 20 to 30. I think he's probably fairly valued there. That's, you know, a good fifth round, sixth round, seventh round pick, just depending on who you're in your league with.
Definitely.
Ray Rice, the two-game suspension has really killed his value. You can get him late, sixth, seventh. Ben Tate, I'm not a fan of Ben Tate. I think he's just always hurt, but it's the Browns. Who else do they have?
He does have some upside. He does have some get him and go. But you got to remember what division he plays in. I mean, he's going to play the Steelers twice. He's going to play the Bengals twice. They both have tough run defenses. They are going to stuff the run.
Very true, very true. I haven't gotten him in any of my leagues so far. The mocks, I just never touch him. We've got Reggie Bush in this little cluster tier. What do you think about Reggie Bush? I think he's probably better than these guys.
I think he's at the top of this cluster just because what he brings. I mean, everybody knows Reggie Bush can take it to the house from anywhere on the field. I mean, whether he's giving the handoff, where he's catching the ball. I mean, he goes 0 to 100 real quick.
Do you care about Joique Bell getting that money, being there, taking the inside the tackle role?
Well, I mean, he's going to take some touches away, but I just think Reggie's such a unique talent that he's still going to get his touches. He's still going to get his 15 to 20 touches a game, whether it's catching or running.
It could work either way. Yeah. Definitely. If he gets the 15 touches, he's solid, especially at that value, because I think he was, what, like a third-round pick last year?
I believe something in that.
Yeah, everybody loved him. And, I mean, he performed, but not to that extent. Joique Bell stole a lot of his value. I think it's going to be pretty even this year. I think he's a little bit underrated. We go down even further. We have the Pierre Thomases, Maurice Jones-Drew, Trent Richardson. Oh, God. Lamar
Steven
Miller.
Jackson. I mean, where do you take somebody like Steven Jackson?
I don't touch him.
Well, I mean, he has had the injury issues. But if he's right in that Atlanta Falcon offense...
So where would you take him? Like, what's that breaking point? What kind of wide receiver would you take ahead of Steven Jackson? What's that breaking point for you? Like a Terrence Williams? Would you take Terrence Williams?
I think I would rather have Terrence Williams, just because you look at somebody like Terrence Williams, he averaged 16 yards a catch last year. I mean, he had 750 yards receiving. He's definitely going to take on more of a role now this year, being the number two receiver with the Cowboys. But you just can't count on Steven Jackson anymore. I mean, all those years with the Rams just finally taking their toll on him.
I gotcha. So, yeah, you have him pretty low. You'd take him as a flyer, but he's not one of your starters.
I don't think so.
Okay. Because Terrence Williams, consensusly across all the sites, is in between that, like, 28 to 35 range. And Steven Jackson's at the 30 to 35 range in running backs. And we know how running backs always go a little bit earlier. But I think that pretty much says we're both not going to have Steven Jackson. I really do like the young kid behind them, though. Freeman. Worth watching.
Devontae Freeman, he is a lightning rod. Guy can do it all.
I think he would be very interesting if he got a chance. But the thing is, do you think they would play Rodgers still? Freaking Jaquizz.
Jaquizz Rodgers, there's no doubt he's got the speed. He's got some talent. I just think that I think eventually Freeman's going to pass him. You Freeman's so? Just got more of an upside.
Yeah, definitely. I think those guys are good late round flyers. I don't know if you take them in 10 team leagues, but if you happen to play in deeper leagues,
what do you think about this Terrence West kid with the Browns?
I think they want Ben Tate to be the guy. I mean, he gets hurt. Terrence West has a chance, but it's the Browns, man.
I don't think they can deny this kid. If you've watched him in preseason games at all, he puts his head down and he's running over at least two or three guys.
Can he steal Ben Tate's job?
I think he can.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. I mean,
this guy put up video game numbers in college. They were high on him, really high. They were able to bring him in the draft. Was kind of a side note in the draft because everybody knows they took Johnny Football in the first round. Notably, he was their second first round pick because they had Justin Gilbert at the 10th pick. But, you know, of course, everybody focused on Manziel. But this kid can play.
Really? See, I don't watch as much college as you, and I knew West was good, but I don't know if he could just step in.
He's got the speed, and he's not afraid to put his head down. He's not afraid of contact.
Interesting. Well, that's cool. Maybe we push Ben Tate down, avoid him, and grab West, and almost the last round. I don't think he's even being drafted at the moment.
Another guy I'm pretty high on is Andre Williams with the Giants.
Gotcha.
He's going to be that backup guy. Watching the Giants over the past years, they always have two guys. They have the speed guy and they have the big guy, and the big guy's going to be Andre Williams this year. Played at Boston College last year, was up for the Heisman most of the year. Just a big back that can really go downhill on you really fast.
Okay, so do you think that affects Rashad Jennings at all? Because I love him.
I don't think it affects him at all because the Giants run.
You don't think it's going to take any carries from
him? I mean, do you remember when they had Jacobs and Bradshaw?
Oh, yeah. Fire, earth, and...
That's what they're going to bring. That's what the Giants do.
Gotcha. Well, in that case, keep him on your radar, guys. Can't hurt to be there. Let's move on a little bit. The running backs, I think, especially in 10 teams, we've exhausted. If you have any further questions, please hit us up on Twitter. We'll make sure we have that in the link of the iTunes description. We also would love to hear any of your feedback. Any other questions you have for us, please let us know. We're going to move on to the wide receivers. So the top five, everybody knows about Calvin Johnson. The dude is a surefire first round pick.
Megatron.
It is Megatron. Everybody loves him. I hope he stays healthy and has a monster year again. I just love watching him play.
I don't see anybody slowing him down.
Yeah, and he has Golden Tate on the opposite side of him now.
And they also added a tight end in the draft.
Yeah. What was his name?
Eric Ebron.
Ebron. That's
right. And we already talked about both their running backs, Bush and Bell.
Yeah, just so many options in that offense. Calvin Johnson's going to be a monster. The next one, in my opinion, is definitely Demaryius Thomas. He has Peyton Manning.
This guy has finally grown into his frame. I mean, when you see him on the sidelines and around other people, he just looks like a beast. I mean, he's just big, strong, fast. He's usually carrying somebody down the sideline after he catches the ball. And he's Peyton Manning's favorite target.
Do you take him over Dez? Everybody loves Dez this season. We're Cowboy homers, man.
I take Demaryius Thomas over Dez.
Really? Even as a Cowboy homer? See, that's a pretty strong statement. That's a strong statement, guys. All right. So then, I think Dez is next. You can't pass on him. If he stays healthy, it's freaking 15-plus touchdowns. We have nobody, and our defense is so bad.
We're going to still be chucking it. In my opinion, I'd rather have A.J. Green.
Really? You take A.J. Green over him, too?
I like A.J. Green better.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I don't think that's... I can't do it.
I mean, if you've watched A.J. Green, I know he plays for Cincinnati, but he's just such an amazing athlete.
But you don't think they're going to just run the ball?
A.J. Green was the most targeted receiver in the NFL last year.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't think that
changes.
And
Marvin Jones is hurt. Marvin Jones is gone.
He's banged up a little bit, but he's their guy. He's what makes their offense go.
Okay.
Well, I think Bernard can maybe do enough to give him a break on the outside. And if you get A.J. Green one-on-one, he's going to go by you.
Gotcha. I understand. Well, in that case, I mean, the top four, they're both sure fryers. I don't think you can go wrong with any of them, to be honest with you.
No. I mean, Dez, definitely, he's the goal line guy. They're going to toss it up. He goes and gets it like a basketball player. Yep. Uses his body well.
Unreal. Yep. I'm definitely trying to get one of those wide receivers in my leagues if I can. If not, I'm waiting. Because, honestly, this next tier is so big. It's from 10 to 20 to 30. They're all within 20 points fantasy-wise. It's really not a huge margin with the rest of these guys. I really like the Brandon Marshalls. I think with Jay Cutler back for the full season, no Josh McCown, I think he outperforms Alshon Jeffrey. A lot of people are putting them really close to each other in rankings. I take Brandon Marshall. What about you?
I can't disagree. B. Marsh has been doing this for years, even back to the Denver days. I mean, he's just 100-catch-a-year guy. It's just what he does.
And he never gets hurt. The guy's never hurt.
He prepares. He works his butt off in the offseason and just brings it. Every season.
What do you think about Jordy Nelson and Antonio Brown? Which one of those would you take? Does it depend on the format?
That's a tough one. That is a tough one there for me. If you're in a league where you can get some return yards, I think you go Antonio Brown.
PPR, Antonio Brown. I do.
But there is no doubt about either one of these guys. I mean, Jordy Nelson is dynamic in his own regard, and he's got Aaron Rodgers throwing to him. And, you know, Antonio Brown's become Roethlisberger's favorite target. So, both these guys, I don't think you can go wrong with either one of them.
Gotcha. Understood. Then there's Alshon. We both love Alshon. The guy's a beast.
He's really coming into his own.
I don't see any downside with him. I think he's probably a top 15 guy. Safety's there. He seems to be slipping a little bit farther than some of the other guys, which is interesting. He's going about 7 picks behind.
But that's good for you in your draft. If he's falling a little bit and you're able to grab him at the end of the second, beginning of the third, hey, you just got a top 10 guy.
Top 10 guy. He is only a second-year player. So if you're in a league that's not quite as, you know, people aren't as in tune, I think he is falling a little bit, and that could be some huge value. Another guy that falls into that group is Randall Cobb. He was hurt all last year.
He was hurt all last year. He is a smaller guy, but they just do so many things with him in the offense. I mean, you see the shovel pass, the bubble screens. I mean, they'll just turn and throw it to him on the sideline and just let him do his thing.
And he's so fast.
And he gets you return yards.
Yes, and if you have return yard leagues, like if you get a point for every 25 return yards, that's huge, guys. If you get those 1,000 yards, those points add up quickly, especially if they get a touchdown occasionally. The next couple guys are Keenan Allen, Roddy White, Andre Johnson, Victor Cruz. They're all sort of have their little risk. They have scars on them.
Yeah, I mean, so they're just not as consistent as the top-tier guys, but they can definitely blow up and give you that big game from week to week.
Would you take Cordarrelle Patterson over all those guys? I know he's a sophomore. I know he's not as highly ranked, but I'm
pretty high on Cordarrelle, I'm not going to lie. I mean, bringing in Norv Turner, knowing like he likes to go downfield, and Cordarrelle's a guy that can go down there and get it. I mean, the guy can fly.
Yeah, and he's 10
picks
later.
And he can also give you some return yards.
I almost think like this tier right here, I sort of avoid. I wait for the next tier, and I go for the Cordarrelle Pattersons, the Torrey Smiths, the T.Y. Hiltons, the Michael Crabtrees. I like that tier value-wise.
I'm not too high on Crabtree.
You don't like Crabtree?
Well, I mean, we're just not sure what Kaepernick's going to do. I mean, it almost seems like Vernon Davis is the number one option there.
I think Vernon Davis is done. I feel like he's so hard to predict. There will be a night where he goes off, and then you just don't even want to play him.
But he's the only tight end in the league that runs a 4.4. I mean, you can't account for that type of speed at the tight end position.
He's a freak.
They can line him up in the slot, and he can take you to the house.
Where do you take Vernon Davis? Where would you take him in a draft? Do you take him in the 5th round? In a 10-team league?
I'd take him a little higher than that, I think.
In a 10-teamer?
Oh, in a 10-team? I mean, there's just so many options in a 10-team. I mean, you can sit back and wait on some guys, yeah.
But in the 12-14, he's enough of an advantage to take him early.
You're looking at the end of the third, beginning of the fourth round, I feel like.
Just a little later than Julius Thomas and Rob?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Julius Thomas, he's got Manning throwing to him.
Yeah. Tight ends are so easy to break down for you guys. It's honestly, get one of those top three. If not, you can go with the Vernon Davis types. Or just wait. Zach Ertz is always there. All these guys that are playing, most of them don't even know who the kid is, and he's going to ball for Philly. He's going to be amazing, in my opinion. So, let's look at this next tier of wide receivers, which is so deep. I mean, Emmanuel Sanders is sitting there at the 30th pick in both Yahoo and ESPN most of the time.
He's primed for a huge year.
Oh, it's going to be amazing, because Wes Welker, I love the guy, but he's probably going to be done this year. The concussions are just weighing on him.
Well, I mean, Emmanuel Sanders is stepping in for Eric Decker. And I mean, no disrespect to Eric Decker. Good wide receiver, good athlete. But Emmanuel Sanders is just speed.
Yeah,
he can just get downfield.
They're just different players.
And, I mean, I don't remember the last time Manning had just a straight speed guy.
Probably Garcon, and he's not even that quick.
I mean, maybe. Sanders just can flat get downfield. You pair him with Demaryius Thomas, he's getting one-on-one coverage on the outside. He's going to run by people.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of big plays for this guy. I definitely agree.
I mean, we've already been seeing it in the preseason.
Yeah, he just went off. And then after that, you still got the Eric Deckers, Terrence Williams, Julian Edelman,
Golden Tate. So where do you take this kid, Brandon Cooks?
Brandon Cooks, see, I don't know, man. Because the Saints pass it so much, but they spread it around so evenly. I just don't want to deal with the headache.
But supposedly they've already got a Cooks package where they just design plays just for him.
it's just one of those things. I don't find myself to be a wide receiver guy. I like to look at the quarterbacks, and I feel like I do a much better job at the running backs. I don't have any problem taking a flyer on Cooks, but I feel like he's going so early now, the hype is just out of control.
Well, you got to remember, he's just a rookie. I mean, this is the NFL, and there's a reason these guys are pros and been in the league, and rookies just can't come in and dominate as much as people think they can.
And he's not the number one option. Like, I feel like Sammy Watkins and Cooks are going pretty close to each other in drafts. Sammy Watkins is by far the number one target in that offense.
He definitely is, and he's probably the better overall athlete after the catch guy.
No doubt. And I mean, I understand the quarterback's a little bit different with Drew Brees, but it's
versus EJ Manning.
Exactly. Definitely. I mean, that you can't argue that point. But just from a value standpoint, I just don't know if Cook's value is going to be there. Because if you take him where he's going right now, which is like that early 7th, 8th round because of the hype train, I just don't think you can make anything off of him. Yeah, he might be good, but there's also that possibility he's last year's Tavon Austin. Or Kenny Stills. Everybody was hyped on Kenny Stills last year.
So, one other thing. This guy obviously has had some off-the-field problems, but Josh Gordon. Ugh. Do you take a flyer on him?
Ugh, it's so tough. I wish they would just freaking tell us what's going to happen. Because we both think it's going to be at least 8 games, right?
I mean, I just don't see how you can go from 16 games down to nothing. I think they're going to do something to
Prater
him.
Was supposed to get a year. I just got an ESPN alert a couple minutes ago where Prater was supposed to get a full 16 weeks and they got it down to 4.
Right, but Prater's was a different situation.
Yeah, very true. Josh Gordon's on, what, his like 4th, 5th strike?
Yes. And then some. And he also has pending stuff after already getting suspended on top of this. But as troubled as he is, there's no doubt what type of athlete he is and what he can do on the field. I mean, is it worth taking him late and stashing him?
Do you take him over a Jared Boykin? Number 3 wide receiver for the Packers. And either of those top 2 guys goes down, Boykin steps in with Aaron Rodgers.
I think you got to go with Boykin.
You got to go Boykin. But see, Boykin's ranked in the 40s, which means he's barely getting drafted. That's a 10th, 11th, 12th round pick. So I guess we're sort of answering our own question here. I think we're both a little scared of Gordon.
But if you can stash him for a later date, would it be worth it?
Oh, no doubt. If you can get... Let's put it this way.
He was the number one receiver in the NFL last year. Over Megatron.
I can't believe it, but it's so true.
With 2 or 3 different quarterbacks throwing the ball.
Garbage quarterbacks throwing them the ball. Now, the situation is not going to be that much better this year, but...
They do have Johnny.
Johnny. Freaking Johnny. But, let's put it this way. I think we both agree, if Josh Gordon hasn't had a ruling and your draft is in the next week and they haven't told us how many games it's going to be,
buyer beware.
Buyer beware. But I think everyone's going to be so scared of him. If you can get him in the second to last round, maybe the 13th, 12th, there's no risk to it. Just go for it. If not, you'll drop him, pick up a waiver wire guy who's pretty much the same as who you would have gotten that round anyway. I think that's where we both stand. Am I correct?
I totally agree.
All right. Well, that pretty much wraps up the wide receivers. If you have any that we didn't cover and you'd like to hear more about it, please let us know. We'd love to hear from you. We're going to move on to the tight ends. Like we've already said, we want one of those top 3 guys, preferably Jimmy Graham, but we all know if you don't have the right draft position, sometimes it's impossible. There's nothing you can do about it. I like Julius Thomas to stay healthy more than Rob Gronkowski.
I mean, there's no doubt what Rob Gronkowski can do when healthy. It's just he's never healthy.
Yeah.
It goes back to college with this guy. I mean, he had a back surgery in college. You're just wondering at what point where he's going to have that one injury where he's not going to come back from.
Yeah.
But there's no doubt what he can do around the goal line. There's no doubt the attention he draws. I mean, he opens up passing lanes for Shane Vereen.
Yeah. I think we both agree that if Rob Gronkowski plays, the Patriots are going to be scary. And a lot of those guys that we have that are a little bit lower ranked just because the Patriots weren't that impressive last year, if he's on the field, I think all those guys get elevated. They end up outperforming their draft position right now.
I totally agree.
Yeah. But what do you think about Jordan Cameron? The guy was on fire at the beginning of the year last year. I had him in a couple leagues.
There's no doubt the way he performed at the beginning of the year last year. But, I mean, this is the NFL, and they adjust to people. And with Josh Gordon gone, they're not really set at the quarterback position yet. I mean, you're not sure what Ben Tate's going to do. He's their only consistent, so he's what defenses are going to key on.
Do you take him over Jason Witten? We know. We love Jason Witten.
Jason Witten's just over-reliable. It's all he does is just catch passes.
So I'm saying, do you take the upside of Jordan Cameron, or do you go with Jason Witten in the 5th, 6th round?
I think I'm going to go with Witten. I just like the consistency.
Gotcha. So you won't be getting Jordan Cameron on any of your leagues because he's pretty much the consensus number four guy.
To be honest, I like Rudolph over Cameron.
Really?
Just in a Norv Turner system and know how he likes to use the tight end. I mean, he's going to be working the middle of the field, and he's going to get easier coverage because old trusty Adrian Peterson's in the backfield.
Wow. Yeah, see, and you can get Rudolph late 8th round, early 9th round.
I mean, you look at the list, I definitely like Rudolph over Greg Olsen. And, I mean, I've already stated over Jordan Cameron. I mean, you justify him at the top 5. I mean, he might even make a push on Vernon Davis.
Yeah. And you know what's funny is a lot of people are taking Vernon Davis really late. He's going in the 6th, 7th round. So you definitely are a proponent of going after one of these three guys. You want Jason Witten, Vernon Davis, or Kyle Rudolph, and Zach Ertz. So there's four. There's four tight ends in that second tier that you're looking
at. I like the kid Jordan Reed at Washington too.
Yeah.
He can really do some special things.
Yeah. So if we get one of those, if you don't get one of those top three, those are the five guys we're looking at. Jason Witten, Jordan Cameron, Kyle Rudolph, Jordan Reed, and Zach Ertz. Go for one of those guys. It's going to be leaps and bounds ahead of the other guys. I'm not a big fan of Martellus Bennett. He's going to have a couple big games. Charles Clay can't stay healthy. I like the talent, but he can't stay healthy.
I do. Like, if you can stash him late, I mean, he did catch 79 balls last year.
Are you buying the Colts tight ends? The Dwayne Allen, Colby Fleener? I don't see the targets being there.
Well, Fleener should be comfortable with Luck. They went to Stanford together, and, you know, they've worked well together. But he's just having trouble separating when he gets to that second level.
Yeah, I don't see him getting the touchdowns. That's it. Like, yeah, he might be a decent red zone target, but there's not going to be any 20-yard TD passes.
I think if Trent Richardson can step up and be what he needs to be, and the play action is there, I think he can dominate the middle of the field. But
even with Dwayne Allen,
hasn't showed us anything.
Yeah,
I think Fleener's the number one option there. Dwayne Allen hasn't shown much at all since he's come in.
I just think with the ADPs, I mean, Kobe Fleener's barely getting drafted. I don't think he's really even worth talking about that much. But if you believe in him, it's one of those things. Take a late-round pick. It just shows the tight end's pretty deep. If you don't get one of those top three guys that sets you apart, you can wait.
It's very deep. You look at this guy, Ladarius Green, San Diego. Yeah. I mean, he's an athlete.
Antonio Gates is still there, but he could always emerge.
A lot of people are running these two tight end systems now.
True. Very true. Yeah. So that's our breakdown on the tight ends. Kickers and defense, especially in smaller leagues, I think it plays a very small role. Now, I do want to make one note. Seattle is the exception.
They are above the exception. These guys can do it all. They rush the passer. They get picks. I mean, you're just not scoring on them. I mean, they have Cam Chancellor, who is probably one of the biggest hitters in the game. I mean, you look at – we took Jimmy Graham first round. We love his talent. You look at his worst games – against this defense.
They're scary.
They take him out of the game.
We all saw the Super Bowl last year. Denver looked unbeatable, and Seattle dominated them.
They didn't want anything to do with them. And I think Seattle's gotten better on defense. They've added a couple more linebackers. They've added some more D linemen.
It's unreal. What Pete Carroll has done with them is just not fair. Like, it's not fair to the league.
It's not fair. But, you know, what can you say?
So, where do you take them in drafts? Because they are a conundrum. Where do you pick Seattle? Because everybody wants them.
I would take them high as the 4th round. Depending on how the scoring is, if you're in your league, if your defense actually gets you points for takeaways and, you know, scoring, they're worth a lot.
I mean, because let's think about it this way. Most standard leagues, you get a point or 2 points for sacks. You get the 2 points for interceptions. You get a couple yardage points. If they, you know, you keep them under a certain amount of points, you'll get 10 points. If they get between like the 7 and 14, you'll get 7. If your league has yardages in there.
Yeah, if your special teams are combined with your defense, you got to think Percy Harvin's returning kicks.
Yes. I mean, they are leaps and bounds above the competition.
Richard Sherman did have 10 picks last year.
They're going to average 20 points a game at home.
And they're always getting sacks.
And you don't have to deal with the freaking headache of picking up a defense every week, which can be so annoying, because then you get a negative one, you get a negative two with a perfect matchup because of fluke plays. I feel like 4th round is definitely too early. I don't think I'm going to end up with Seattle on any teams, but I can't argue with somebody taking them.
I definitely can't either. I mean, they're just top to bottom. They got great guys.
And let's put it this
across
way.
The board.
I almost want to put it to you this way. What wide receiver is your breaking point? Before you're like, nah, I'd rather have Seattle over the next defense, which is in most cases San Francisco, Carolina, or the Bengals.
I think we were talking about those top guys. I think when it gets to the Antonio Brown, I think when you go into that tier after that is where I'm willing to take the break.
To like the Pierre Garçon, Deshaun Jacksons.
I just think they're going to be able to put up, they're just going to be able to dominate. There's going to be one position that you're getting the top end
of
that
category. Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's funny. Everybody in the industry, when you read and watch about it, they all take the whole perspective of Peyton Manning could be so much better than all the other quarterbacks, and Jimmy Graham could be so much better than all the tight ends. I think we both sort of have the stance of Seattle could be so much better than all the other defenses.
Yeah, I mean, they are the Peyton Manning of defense.
Yes, they really are. So I think like that sixth round, because people are going to take them in the seventh regardless of what league you're in. If you could snag them late fifth, if you have that draft position, I think it could be one of those moves that wins you the league. I really do.
And it, I mean, it could be.
And that's very controversial, because if you listen to most experts, they're not going to tell you to take that defense to the last round. But Seattle is a conundrum. You have to take them that early, but they could totally pay off, if not pay more than their draft position.
So where are you going if you're not able to get Seattle?
If I'm not able to get Seattle, I am waiting. With one exception. I think Carolina, which is ranked pretty high, I do not think they bounce back. I think with Cam Newton's issues, very few pass receivers, I just don't see their defense being able to dominate.
Even with
like
the emergence of Luke Kuechly?
Oh, don't get me wrong. The defense from a personnel standpoint I think is fantastic. I just think the game scripts, they, you know, because last year they just ran the ball. They let Cam Newton just sort of time management in it. I don't think they're going to be able to do it that year, this year. The offenses in the division are a little bit better. I mean, the Falcons were
awful last
year.
Definitely the Saints and the Falcons in that division.
It's just so tough.
Even Tampa Bay, I mean, they've added a Mike Evans to go with Vincent Jackson.
Yeah,
Doug Martin's healthy.
The dominance they showed last year, I don't think they're going to be able to repeat. But I love Cincinnati. Who did they get back this year?
Geno Atkins.
And who is Geno Atkins?
On some people's board, the best defensive tackle in the NFL.
He's
a beast. Think he's top three. I mean, the guy pass rushes from a defensive tackle standpoint. He also stops a run.
And they were already the best running defense in the league last year.
Yep. You have Burfecit there, Vontaze Burfecit. I mean, definitely one of the top linebackers in the league.
And in our draft, we got them, what, 13th round? 12th round?
13th round.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I think it's worth... We're both pretty much proponents of waiting till the last two rounds for your kicker and defense. Kicker you take in the last round, guys. If you hear that anywhere else, what's the point? You don't take a kicker any earlier than the last round. But I think it's okay to reach for Cincinnati in the 13th, 12th round.
I don't have a problem with it.
The 49ers, what do you think? Are they going to be good or are they overrated?
They're going to be good. They've reloaded. Everybody's going to be like they lost Whitner. Well, they added a kid at playing safety from NC State in the draft. They had Eric Reed last year, added him in the draft. He's in the fold. They still have Patrick Willis. I mean, everybody knows what Patrick Willis does. He's a tackling machine. I mean, he's probably the best middle linebacker since Ray Lewis. They still got Justin Smith, the old man up front, just handling, dominating. I mean, Alden Smith's going to be suspended a few games, but he'll be back.
Okay. You know? I agree completely. Are they worth reaching for the 13th round? You take them around the Bengals, maybe a little bit before then, from what I'm hearing?
I think they're a little bit ahead of the Bengals.
So, like the
11th,
12th?
Have a little bit better personnel. I just think they're a little bit more suited. I mean, they do play the Cowboys the first game.
That's a great matchup for the first start of the year.
That's a great matchup.
Could easily get a nice first W for the first.
So here's my conundrum when I look at the defenses: the Houston Texans.
I just don't know
what to make out of them. I mean, they got Clowney, they got Watt. Is Brian Cushing going to be healthy?
What's their cornerback situation like?
I mean, it's solid. I mean, they got Kareem Jackson and a couple other guys. They brought in some guys. I mean, but it all starts with the guys up front.
You think the front's going to be strong enough that they're going to just be able to keep games close?
I think they can.
I don't see any problem with that. You can get them in the last round. I think they'll
take
be there.
Late.
Yeah, that's a late round.
I mean,
flyer
you could
defense.
Take them as your second defense, and they could end up being your first.
Okay. Now we talked about this earlier. You like the Baltimore Ravens. I think they're going to be available late. They're a good little pickup if you just wait and don't get the Cincinnati's, the Seattle, or San Francisco's. We're ignoring the Panthers. I think the Rams. I think they're a great defense, but that team is just not set up to have a great
fantasy.
Well,
with Bradford going out, I mean, they're going to be on the field a lot more. I mean...
Yes, exactly. I feel like so many more opportunities to get screwed, to be honest.
But they do have a great, great front four.
And then Arizona, I was loving this team until all these injuries and suspensions.
Well, Darrell Washington, their number one middle linebacker, had his problem. He's out for the year. Now Darnell Dockett, probably their emotional leader of the defense. I mean, now he's gone. I mean, that's your anchor right there.
I know. It's sad, man. Because
I have the Honey Badger, though.
The Honey Badger.
They do have Tyrann Mathieu. He's back. He's made it back already.
Little dude.
But, hey, he makes a big difference. I mean, he's always around the ball. He's always making something happen.
Hey.
Patrick Peterson, arguably the best corner in the league.
It's Richard Sherman. Even though Patterson's paid more. It's arguably. Isn't that such a slap in the face? People say
he's the new Deion.
Unbelievable. I cannot believe Sherman got that deal, and then Patterson just gets more money.
Well, Joe Hayden makes more too than Richard Sherman.
That's embarrassing to me. Poor Michael Crabtree.
So you're saying Sherman should fire his agent?
Oh, he should definitely fire his agent. Poor guy, man. So I think the defenses are pretty much covered. We don't believe the Chiefs bounce back. I think they're okay, but that division's tough.
It's tough.
I don't like it at all. Denver's defense could be a steal, but I think they're going early.
I see people taking them kind of high. I mean, I just don't know what to think. You do get Von Miller back. I mean,
D-Ware.
Yeah, D-Ware. Is he going to be healthy? I don't know.
They're saying D-Ware looks really healthy. They're saying he looks amazing.
We'll see, and he'll obviously not be getting the double and triple teams he did in Dallas.
Yeah,
he'll be getting
exactly.
One-on-one.
I mean, Von Miller and him, man. I think that defense could be sneaky good.
It could be good.
But
it
the thing is you're going to have to draft him early. If you want the Denver defense, you have to take him where you want to take him.
The question is Manning going to pass him out of it?
I think it's going to be the opposite. I think Manny's going to get him so far ahead that other quarterbacks are just going to have to be chucking it, and there's going to be huge pick six potential, good big sacks, fumbles. I think they could be solid. That's the defense I'm probably targeting if I don't get Seattle. If they slip a little bit, that 11th, 12th round, I think they're in the same ball game as like a San Francisco and Cincinnati. Not quite as good, but right behind them. They're in that next tier. And other than that, I think we're both waiting. If you don't get those guys, you take a Cleveland, you take a Houston, you take a Baltimore, and you play the matchups week to week.
Definitely.
Kicker, guys, sorry. I refuse to help you here. Go look at the regular rankings and pick one.
Just be smart about it. I mean,
try to get a dome guy.
Matt Prater.
Try to get a dome
guy.
He's
going to be gone for the first four games.
and don't take Matt Prater like the idiot
don't
in our draft
Prater.
Today.
Yeah. Gostkowski's a solid guy. I mean, I like Dan Bailey. I think he should be higher than the sixth pick.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he screwed me last year in the fantasy playoffs. The dude put up 23 points. He outscored Peyton
Manning.
He's
solid.
I lose. I'm in four leagues, guys. I got first and two, third in the other two. Both the ones I got third in were because Dan Bailey put up 23 points. Unbelievable. Anyway.
He's solid. The Cowboys are going to be playing a lot of offense. We'll see.
All right, guys. That's our first episode of the Fantasy Break. We'll be back next week. We both have two drafts between now and then, so we should have plenty of things to talk about. Hopefully you guys have sent us some questions. We'll answer emails. That's it. We're just going to call it a wrap. We'll see y'all later.
Later, guys.
Peace.
Visit us on Twitter or email us at fantasysportsbreak@gmail.com.